to Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4. And as we look at Jeremiah, remembering God has given the recorded scriptures for our learning, so that we can be the beneficiaries of all of from yesterday. And so always, each time you go through history, the next group has the advantage of all the previous ones, if they take it. And here we are in the presence of God, who gave. Right now, Assyria's up there, Nebuchadnezzar's up there, and he's fooling around, he's coming down. And right now, all that's happening, and God is there. And it is happening to God right now, because he has no time. So all of that's there. So here I am, you and I, reading about that which they're experiencing, as it were. So we have the privilege of God, who was the eyewitness and outworked the event, and we have his word, and here we are looking to benefit from that wonderful series of events. So here in Jeremiah chapter 4, and picking up, you remember that God had summoned them to return, verse 22, chapter 3, return ye backsliding children, apostate children. And they gave a positive response, a confession. The remnant is going to give a confession. The nation as a whole is not ready to repent, not ready to return. But the offer is made by God to return. And that's not only to Israel, to Judah, as we shared, but to Israel. Now, in chapter 4, verse 1, again we pick up, if thou wilt return, O Israel, thus saith the Lord, return unto me. Now, you can always turn to God. God's an ever-present God. So wherever, whether you're in the jungle or a penthouse or wherever you are, down below or high up, God's there. God's everywhere, God, an ever-present God, that's right. And so they could turn to God and look to God, and they would find God if they, as we know, if we seek him with all our heart, he's there he is. God just wants a wholehearted relationship. And thus, and if thou put away thine abominations out of my sight, and thou shalt not move away, wander to and fro, and thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth, you're going to take, not be looking at all of the idols and the system and the philosophy and the religion. You're going to take an oath, you're going to confirm it by an oath, a promise, a statement. You're going to say by something sacred, God, you are the only living God. You're the only one. All the rest are gods that don't exist. If they do exist, they exist in a form of a demon or something else. You're the only living God. When God said, you genuinely, with all your heart, honor me, recognize me, God. Remember we read it in Isaiah 45, 46, 47, 48. I alone am God. I am the only God. I am the only God and the only Savior. There is no other. I know of no other. Know of no other. I'm the only one there is. So when you acknowledge someone or something else apart from me, then that's idolatry. I'm the only one. When you note that I am the living Lord God. Verse 2, and you want to do so in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they be glory. And we read together and looked together last time a little bit to see that God deals with the heart of the nations by way of Israel. Israel points to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the God of truth, who brings us the truth of God. And Israel points to God, and all the nations are going to acknowledge that he, the Lord, liveth. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that he's God. There is no other. So the day is coming when it's all going to get cleared up, but right now it isn't. Now, so here in Jeremiah chapter 4 and in verse 1 and 2, they are summoned to return, and they have the advantage to do so genuinely if they would. And God would be gracious and merciful. The invasion was pending, and destruction of the temple and the city was pending, and they had opportunity to fix things. If they would choose, they could turn to God right where they were, and God would have wonderfully, as he has done often in the past, saved them when there was no way to save them at all. So now, having said that, and we shared together over in the fact, fortunately, this business of returning Israel, Judah, Jerusalem, it was in their hands. No one else could stop them from resolving and giving a remedy to no matter what their problem, what their life was, no matter how their job, work, home, play. They had in their hands the right and the privilege to turn to God. And no one could interfere with that. They could put them in bondage and tie them up and shut their mouth. But in their heart, they could turn to God. And that was in their power, always in their power. Now, they should do so. And God was already committed to helping them. He's already committed. So it isn't a question of God making a decision. It's a question of the people making a decision. Now, and we shared the benefit of that. I want to see that, God, a little bit. So we may not have done it, but over, if you would, in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew in chapter 6. And if I may, picking up, you know it, and I'll just read it for our own reminder. Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 31. Therefore take no thought, anxious to be divided up in your mind. Take no thought saying what you should eat or what you should drink or whether we shall be clothed. All those things, after all these things, the Gentiles seek. And if you don't have God, then of course you're going to have to create a God that can't help you. But you're going to have to create a system to survive. You have to have some reason to get out of bed. You have to have some way that you can get down the corridor of time and that it's safe to go down the corridor. If I have to consider God and it is appointed unto men the judgment following, I'm not too keen to go down the corridor of time because there waiting for me is God and judgment. So I got to get rid of God and the judgment, so I get religious and all the rest of it. And in verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Now, Israel, repent, return to me, and I'm there, and I'm able to, you turn to me, and I'll do my part. Now, how much, God, are you going to care? If we turn to you, God, and look to you, which is in our power, what are we going to do? Over in chapter 10. In chapter 10, if you might. And remember now, in Matthew chapter 10, if I can, over in verse 22. Now remember, Israel is about to be clobbered by the Assyrians. Verse 22, our Lord speaking to the believers in the day, in his day, "Ye shall be hated," 10 and 22. "Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee you into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord." And if they're going to go and call, well, read the verse instead of saying it, "It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant of his Lord, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, the lord of the flies, demon, the devil, Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? So if they went after me, they're going to go after you. But I want you to seek me with all your heart. You'll find me. I'm right there. But you, when you find me, you're going to find that other people don't want to find me. And they don't want you to find me. So therefore, fear them not." Verse 26. "Therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. But what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. What ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. Fear them not, which kill the body, which are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell," or Hades, Sheol. And thus, you're going to be hit. You're going to have to trust me, but in the process, I'm not going to make the Assyrians go away. I'm ultimately not make the Babylonians go away. I'm not going to make the Samaritans go away. I'm not going to make the thing different. Because you're in the world to bear witness to who I am, that whosoever can turn and know me, Jew or Gentile, wherever they are. I'm not picking a group. I'm looking for whosoever's, wherever they are. Now, having said that, I'm interested, God, in your care. I mean, here we are, here they were, here we are, we're way ahead of them. We should be. In verse 29, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father?" Remember, the Father knoweth everything you need, so we're learning to trust him and do the right thing on our part, his part. But the very hairs, verse 30, "the hairs of your head are all numbered." That's pretty detailed, if you ask me. And I bet you don't know how many hairs are on your head. I bet you don't know. I bet not one of you could stand up and give an accurate... Well, I... I'd be a little slow, you know. "The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows." So, you know, little birds fly here and there. So God, here we are, and we're more valuable to you. The smallest detail of our being you're conscious of. So God, when you say return, you understand every part of me that has to come to you that you have to deal with, from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. You've got to deal with me. You have to be an ever-present help to work it out. God said, that's correct. Now, over if you would, back over to Jeremiah and chapter 4. Now, it's very personal, like always, very personal work for a very personal blessing. And they are to be exercise their relationship to God. And thus chapter 3, verse 14, I'll even read verse 12 to give a little context again. "Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, Return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord. And I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, Why not? For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord. I want you to be level with me. Don't play games with me. Thy God transgressed against the Lord thy God, verse 13, and has scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, their idolatry. You have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. So God is going to do a wonderful thing, a wonderful promise. And Israel is to understand that God is a merciful God, and he's telling them even then, last minute, turn to me. So now, verse 3, Jeremiah 4, 3. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem. So it's directed to the people in the southern part that are there waiting for Nebuchadnezzar, Judah and Jerusalem. And what is God going to say? What is God directing to them? And then he says, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. I want you to break up the fallow ground and don't sow among thorns. So now, the word to break up, it's a command, and it takes something that is broken, the ground, and to break it again, to make it new, is the ground. Think of the ground, the earth, garden, if you would, and you're going to go and take the plow, the harrow, and go through, and you're going to break up the ground, and it's all got stuff in it again. So now we got to go and do it anew. We've got to break up that ground. Break up your fallow ground. The word fallow is the noun, and break up is the verb, same word. Break up this ground, break up the ground. This, you need a new field, that's what you need. You need to stop the idolatry. You're feeding the ground, you're feeding your heart, you're feeding your community with idolatry. And all of you are caught up in that. And you aren't going to succeed. There's no way we can go and put seed on that ground and have anything. You want me to do something, but I can't do it on that ground. It won't work. The seed, good seed on ground, if you sow the seed, the end of verse 3, if you sow the seed and it's among thorns, There's no way it can produce. The thorns win. Over, if you would, just hold your finger there to remind yourself what happens if you don't fix things within reason. And we'll see how to do that in a sec. Over to Matthew chapter 13. And remember our Lord in the parable of the sower. And in chapter 13, Matthew, our Lord, in parable of the sower, remember, and here's type of the ground where the seed went. And in verse 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and he hears the word. The seed gets in, he that hath an ear to hear, but he's hearing it, but it can't go anywhere. Why can't the seed grow? Why can't the seed produce? Because the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. You can't plant a garden where you can't plant seed, where all the growth, wild growth is. The thorns always win. Always win. The weeds always win. Anyone that does any kind of farming or planting, the weeds win. You know, you'd say you picked them all out, and lo and behold, a little while, they're all back in again. And you wish your food would come back like that. You wish your plants would come back like that. They don't come back like that. No, the weeds are just, they grow, and they grow, and they grow, and they develop. Just leave them alone. Leave a patch of grass alone for a while. And the nice patch of grass will become, who knows what's going to start growing. Pretty good, you got a jungle out there. Wow. So now they, verse 3, Jeremiah chapter 4. So they're going to go and they have to break up the ground. That's what they got to do. And the problem is, isn't the ground in the ground as such. It's the ground of their heart. Their heart is deceitful. Their heart is hardened. And they're going to be, you know what's going to happen as you move through the accounting God gives in Jeremiah, that they are not going to change. They're not going to change at all. Having all the advantage of the 10 tribes in the north 100 years ago, having the advantage of being told by Jeremiah, etc., having had Daniel gone and Ezekiel's gone over into Babylon, and they're there, anyone going to listen? They don't listen. They don't listen. So God, they aren't in good shape. No, but God gives them the formula, gives them the way out. They need to have a genuine repentance. And they can't. So God has a wonderful, wonderful thing he would provide for them. If they would seek him, God would give them what they need. God would do it. But they have to seek him. Back to chapter 4, verse 2, the Lord lives. You can't compete, say, I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to trust thus and thus and thus and thus. You're going to trust God, period. You may try other things, but you don't trust them. You thank God for medicine, for the doctor, for the lawyer, for the Indian chief. You thank God, but you don't trust them. No one takes the place of God, ever. Man, woman, boy, or girl. God's first. They never, never, never is it a question. They never can compete. They aren't God. Only God is God. He lives. Gonna trust him. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, God is going to go and help them. Now, they aren't ready for it yet, but they're going to be. They're going to be. So now, before we do that, in the light of that, they're to go and fix this now. And here's the message Jeremiah is bringing them. Now, what did they already have? Already have, just like Daniel had Jeremiah and all of that when we did it Sunday night. Daniel already had Jeremiah. He could read Jeremiah just like you can. And he did read it. And he did study it. And he knew. And he went by it. And that's why he could tell him, it's time for you to exit Babylon and go back to the land, Ezra, Nehemiah, etc. Now, over if you would, just to go back, we're going to go back 100 years, back 100 years, over if you would, to Hosea. Hosea and chapter 10. Now, you're going back approximately 100 years earlier. And the Assyrians have not come down, 722, 100 years. And the Assyrians have not come down yet onto Israel, the 10 tribes in the north. They're coming. And Hosea's telling them something. Now, I'm interested, so are you, I'm sure. What did you tell them, Hosea? I know what Jeremiah said as God's spokesman. Break up your fallow, break up the fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. I know what he said. Now, what did you tell the Israel, 10 tribes in Israel? Hosea chapter 10. And before I read that, though, I'll go over to chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4. A little help. Hosea 4:1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy, argument, contention with the inhabitants of the land. Why? Because there is no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. So as you look at the 10 tribes in the north, you won't find truth, you won't find mercy, and you won't find an understanding of God. So you can go up and down the land, visit all the towns, visit all the villages, visit their religious centers, their priests. They don't know God. They have a great program and a great agenda and wonderful hymns, but they don't know God. Now, back over to chapter 10. In chapter 10, picking up, if I may, verse 12, going directly, and I'm going to repeat what Jeremiah is going to did in chapter 4, 3. So to yourselves, there's the command, so to yourselves in righteousness. Sow to yourselves in the direction of righteousness. Israel, you need to repent. The Assyrians are coming. Behold, they're coming. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. I want you to go and sow. Look in the direction for you to be the beneficiary. It's in your direction of rightness. You need rightness. You're in the wrong. You need to go get right. And the word so means it's their time. They have to resolve mentally to do that. You mentally, remember we shared attitude, you mentally set yourself. Attitude. You set yourself physically in some things, a race or something, or mentally you set yourself for what it is. An attitude makes the thing work. However your attitude is a key word. Have the right attitude. Have the wrong attitude, goes nowhere. Attitude sends it forward. Now, sow to yourselves in righteousness, and reap in mercy. You're going to sow in righteousness and reap in mercy. And the word mercy, remember, is the inclination to bend down, to love, to have God's goodwill, to have God's favor, God's love, God's kindness, God's benevolence. God's. Bend down, and God's going to bend down and reap righteousness. When you go for rightness, you're going to get mercy. When you go for rightness, you're going to find mercy. Why is that? Because it is the righteousness of God that is desired and wanted. And the only way you can get rightness out of the mess is by showing mercy and grace. So therefore, over if you would, to Psalm 103 for a moment. Psalm 103, easy to see. Our word mercy. In the direction of yourself for mercy, and the word mercy according to the measure of, the mercy, according, little preposition, according to the mercy of, according to the measure of, according to the measure of mercy, you got it. 103, picking up, if I can, in verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Why? For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. Now, remember now, if you were going back and this stopped, you don't have to stop in Isaiah 55, 3. God said, I'm going to show Israel the mercies that I showed David. David was my man. I'm going to give Israel the mercy that I gave him as a nation. Now, Back over in Hosea, chapter 10, and verse 12. They were to Israel in the north, Assyria's coming, was to sow to yourselves in righteousness, in the direction of rightness. That's what you want to do. You want to get things right. We have no knowledge of God, no mercy, and no truth. So we got to get that right. We got to fix it. And reap in mercy, according to the measure of mercy, reap. Break up your fallow ground. There's the same words that you have in Jeremiah 4:3, same message. Break up your fallow ground. Why? For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. It's time to seek the Lord now. Now is the time. You mean, boy, they're coming. Now is the time. Now is the time. Now is the time to seek the Lord. And you'll notice, please, in verse 12, until he come. And the little verb, to come. Going in the right direction. Going, arriving. Going as not yet ended. It's coming in your direction, and it isn't finished. Whatever is coming in your direction, it's coming, and we aren't done with it. Here it comes, down to you. All down, wonderfully down. Until he come. He's coming, and everything's coming with him. And when he comes, it's going to be like the rain. Rain righteousness upon you. He is the righteous God, and he shines down upon you in like rain. He's coming. The rain comes down, and there's more rain coming, and more rain coming, and more rain coming. The rain isn't finished yet. It's coming, the rain. Now, having said that, in the light of the rain, over, if you would, please, Hosea chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6, picking up, if I may, in verse 3. And remember the Lord's, I'll read 1, 2, and 3, because it's a movement, the same as you got in Jeremiah. Come, let us return unto the Lord. Why? For he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us, and the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Winter, summer, spring, coming. God's movement, God's wonderful, wonderful movement. Hosea said, listen, if you get your act right, he's coming, just like the rain. Rain falling, and the rain isn't even finished. All of God's wonderment, it's moving in your direction. All you've got to do is return to me and get rid of the idols and all the stuff you've got. Well, how are we going to do that? Well, you're going to go and recognize an idol is just an idol. And you're going to confess that an idol is not God. Idolatry is not going to produce rightness. Only God produces rightness. And you're going to have your heart right. And when you have your heart right, your heart, the hardness of your heart, break up the plow. No one likes to get plowed. And God plows. It's wonderful working. God plows. And he does it. You'll see it in Cirque. God plows. Wow. To produce. No one wants to get plowed. We like to have it. It gets all cemented in. And you know that with your own body and that. And if you and apart from someone, you know, I said it, the only thing I can think of in your body, you got a body and you got all the parts in your body. And unless you have been investigated in the past, that means you've had surgery. And they've gone down and couldn't find what it is, so they put all your stuff out on the table trying to find what it is, and then they put it back in. Well, you know they can never put it. You already know this. And Bob, didn't you get supplies, send something in the mail? You get something in the mail, you buy it, and you want to return it? You never know how they got it in the first place. How do they ever get that in the box? How do they ever pack that? You know, how do they do it? Well, when they go in and take it all out, they never get it back like it was. Here's your intestines, small, large, you know, all coiled and spreading across, you know, the upper and lower and transverse and all this stuff. And here they are going, and they're all packed in. Packed, you came out packed, ready, all set. And then you go and disturb them. Boy, who likes that? But sometime it has to be. God said sometime. We like our old nature because it's locked in. It's locked in. And it's been that way forever. And you go and disturb it. Woo! We aren't happy campers. You go in and start playing with my old nature. And you start telling me this and telling me that. I don't want to have to do that. And they don't. And we don't. And we don't. And thus we don't break up the fallow ground. Over, if you would, quickly to get the idea. Oh. Over to Jeremiah first. Jeremiah chapter 31. What is God going to do for them? And then what is God going to do for us? God is going to go, Jeremiah chapter 31. And in verse 31, remember, he's going to do something. Not yet, because their heart is still hard. You're waiting. You're waiting till the tribulation. And by the time the 7 years are up, they're going to be ready to surrender to God. And chapter 31, verse 31, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah." Skipping down to verse 33. "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." Well, how are we going to get rid of all this idolatry and all the stuff we do? How are we going to get rid of that? Well, we can't. We try to. We shuffle it around. We move the one thing over here and the other thing down, and we shuffle it around. We can't move it. God, what are you going to do? I'm going to make them like for you, a new creature. I'm going to do something wonderful for them. I'm going to put my law and myself, as it were, in their heart. Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. In the millennial reign, God, what are you going to do for them? What are you going to do when they go to the end of the tribulation? They're going to go into the land. And God, what are you going to do to make it so that it's going to work for them? I'm going to give them a new heart. I'm going to clean it up. I'm going to get rid of everything. All gone. All no more idols. No more idolatry. No more fooling around. Chapter 36, Ezekiel. Picking up, if I may. And verse 7. 36 and 7. "In the light of Israel in the future. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I have lifted up mine hand. Surely the heathen, the nations that are about you, they shall bear their shame." I'm going to take care of them. But ye, in contrast to them, "but ye, O mountains," that's speaking of Israel, "ye, O mountains of Israel, you shall shoot forth your branches, yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come." They're on their way here. "For behold, I am for you, I will turn unto you, and ye shall be tilled and sown." I'm going to plow and plant. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get your heart, and I'm going to get that land, and I'm going to plow them both and plant them, a new creature, as it were. I'm going to do that. That's what's required. That's what's required.
Well,
but here we are. So what about little old us here? So now, over if you would, please. Oh, in the going. John. The Gospel of John. And if you would, remember in the upper room, Peter, and Peter is there, and the Lord's doing the servant's job of washing the feet, which is a normal custom, and the Lord was doing it. And you'll remember picking up very quickly in verse 6, then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, doth thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part in with me. Unless you get cleaned up, you aren't going anywhere with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. So Peter, of course, being who he is, he said, nothing. You mean no part. Therefore, Peter said, start with the top and go to the bottom, because I want all of me. I want all of me for all of you. And if it requires plowing and breaking up the ground, God, clean the whole thing up. Thus, Chapter 15. If I may, in you going directly in the parable of the sower, verse 3. I mean the vine and the branch, I should say. Chapter 15 of John, verse 3. Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You're clean. Let's see. You're clean. But I don't look clean. I haven't taken a bath. I haven't taken a shower. I did. But here I am. Here I am, God. That's right. You're clean. You're clean through my word. I told you, Peter, you couldn't be saved unless I did the whole job from top to bottom. You have to be saved totally. From stem to stern, top to bottom. And thus, when you do that, in verse 8, here it is, my Father glorified that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Now, there's no way, God, unless you do the work and fix this, there's no way it's going to come out. No way at all, God. No way. So, God, you've got to go and do it. And if you want a garden, and if it's your garden, remember, your garden, you want, it's your planting, Psalm, the planting of the Lord in his own courts. God, you're going to plant, it's your place. You'll have to produce all that wonderful stuff that you do. And God has to do it with his seed, his planting, his plowing. He has to do it. And God will do it. God wonderfully will do it. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians in chapter 5. Now get the impact of the statement that you may have missed or missed it. You read it, but you didn't get it. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. All things are what? Passed away. And behold what? All things are what? All right, God, remember Jeremiah 4:3. We've got to get a new planting, new ground. The ground you got out here is a mess. We've got to get new ground out here. God, what did you do for us? You took us to the cross and died. And what you work with in the heart of a believer right now isn't our old nature. It isn't anything of us. All that you are doing is we are breaking up, we are yielding and allowing the death, as it were, reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. We're reckoning Christ when you died, all that ground. And I don't go and try to pick the weeds and the rocks and the rubble and the rubbish. I don't need it. I'll be forever trying to get all the dumb stuff in my life. I don't need to do that. I need to thank you, God, that the ground you're going to work with isn't something about me or in me. It's about something about you that you have made possible in Christ in me. And Christ in me, the hope of glory. God, you have made me a new creature. And all of those wonderful, wonderful benefits, from the hair of my head to the bottom of my feet, to all of me, for all of you, is real and right and true and genuine, God. And I can look to you with all my heart. Clean. Weedless, thornless, rubbishless. Wow. That's where God works, in His Son. And that's why we aren't going to go and try to fix your life. You'll never fix your life. You get tired of fixing your life. After a while, you don't fix your life. You fix your life in a way that makes it look good when it isn't good at all. So God, we don't want to do that. We want to learn from that. Wonderfully, wonderfully so. And thus, over. You all, I thought we, our time is gone. Overview at Colossians. Colossians 3. I was going to try to get this so you could get it better, but Colossians chapter 3. Going directly, if I can, to verse 8. But now ye also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. How was that? When I died. I died when Christ died. You ended it. That's right. Reckon it so. Put it off. Put it up. Break up the ground. It's already done. You don't make a big deal about it. Just know, understand that I've rejected it and given you a brand new piece of property that belongs to me, is mine, is myself, to make it work. Now, and verse 10, now and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. God, here we are, we're a new creature in Christ. And we're a new creature in Christ based on the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, that God has made possible. And we are new creatures in Christ. We are created in Him, new creatures. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God, you mean it was all set up. I want you to know. I want you to put off. I have a wonderful plan for your life, purpose for your life. I'm going to produce. I'm going to reproduce, as it were. I'm going to make you a son in the Son, so that I'm going to go, but my Son, as the Son of God, Hebrews 2. I'm going to bring many sons to glory. I'm going to bring them to glory. That's what I do. And I want you to know what I've done for you. And I've done it. It's before the world. So I'm not trying to get what your garden plan is. I have my garden plan for your life. I have my. You're the plot. You're the ground. It isn't by anything we do or work or effort that we're going to make it. No, God, we're going to understand the ground, the heart, the person I am, that we are, has to go to the cross. And God, thank you. And what you're going to work with isn't anything about our job, our work, our home, our health, our wealth. No, you aren't working with that. You're working with our unique relationship to yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who you're working with. So it isn't because I get it. You thank God for all the things. Thank God for all the things He does and doesn't do You thank God for them. But God's going to do what he does for you for his great name's sake because of who he is. And God's going to do so with all his. And God, you're looking to what? Bring showers of blessing on it. That's right. Over, if you would, in Hebrews. Remember the rain? The rain comes down. I'm coming. My blessing's coming. Like rain. The latter rain, the big rain, just are going to keep falling. And you say, when's it going to stop raining? Not for a while. It's going to rain. I'm coming. In the process. Over. Hebrews chapter 6. If I may. Verse 7. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them, to whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. We're trying to exercise and warn you. Do you realize the benefits that you have? I warn you, you could lose them, but they're yours. Why lose them? Why throw it all away? Why not have a little bit of stuffing in us to say, to be something? I don't want to be caught up in the crowd, the mood, the message, all going the wrong way. God, I want to look to you. Now, God, I want to look to you with all my heart. So now, having said that, if you would, I thought it might be, looking in the light of the rain, you might want to go, and if we have a little time, a thought or two of prayer. But instead of doing that, maybe we could sing Anna 393, I think it is. And the last three stanzas. Because that's what you want. Of all the things you can do, of all the things you could say. Wow. Showers of blessing we need. We're looking for God. That's what you're looking for. God, and that's the whole point. Judah, Israel, did you go for them? No. Did you break up the ground? Nope. Judah, Jerusalem, did you break up the ground? Nope, nope, nope. Believers, do you break up the ground? Hebrews 3, why are you doing the same thing they do? How are you going to enjoy his rest if you don't get good ground? A good God, good ground, good produce. Well, and it isn't because of anything about us. It isn't about your background, your IQ, your anything. It's all about the wonderful person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you received him as your Savior. And that's where it all is. It's a sure, wonderful thing to claim it. So perhaps, we'll sing. We'll stand and sing it. Why not?